Made in the city. For the city.
We are Cambridge 105.
What sparked your passion for cooking?
I have a good appetite and I eat.
I'll often make subtle changes to the next batch of it.
As long as it has room to move around, it's classified as free range.
So my mother gave me a crash course in cookery when I was 16.
I remember sampling this amazing drink, thinking how I've never tasted coffee this good.
Which homemade desserts can be cheaper than shop-bought alternatives?
We want people to feel at home.
Good afternoon and welcome to Flavour with Matt Bentman,
Ruth Reyes
and Alan Alder.
And after our last broadcast from the mobile unit, we are back in this nice new shiny studio today. It looks good. I only hope I know how to use all the equipment.
On today's programme, we've lots of news about the Eat Cambridge Food and Drink Festival, which starts next week. In fact, some of the fringe events started last night, as we'll hear from Matt later. There are some really unusual events going on, which we can't wait to talk about.
Yes, today we hear about a three-course meal with each course containing chocolate, an eel and jam feast, an eight-course meal where you just pay what you think the meal was worth, cakes inspired by cocktails, cocktails inspired by cakes.
Speciality teas in Ely, and a cafe where the staff wear pineapples on their heads.
We hear about the street food festival and where it's taking place, pop-ups.
And away from Eat Cambridge, we have our regular tapper of the month from Estefania Red Ramos and what to drink with it from Tom Lewis. And after that, we'll be going to our regular Cambridge food and drink news slot. And today, we'll be welcoming Gigi Perry, who'll be here to tell us about the university food and drink news.
Wow, what a lot we got. Let's begin with the rather daring idea of asking customers to pay what they please for an eight-course meal. It's happening as part of Eat Cambridge at the Three Horseshoes in Madingley. I spoke with chef owner Richard Stokes in the pub restaurant's lovely conservatory.
Richard, you're doing a pay-as-you-please supper club at the Three Horseshoes in Madingley. Is that literally what it says it is?
Yes, certainly. Pay as you please. We've got two nights and the bookings are going well so far. Both evenings different themed. We've got an Italian-inspired pay as you please dinner on the 13th, Tuesday the 13th, followed by Wednesday the 14th, a Mama Fuku-inspired dinner. Mama Fuku being the famous New York restaurant.
So what sort of food is that then?
It's Korean, but with a transatlantic slant. So we're using ingredients that are local, but with, you know, David Chang's sort of style of food, which we've tried to copy in some of our desserts here, which I think everybody knows about, candy pie and our crack pie, which they very much like, and our pork hoisin buns, which have been very popular the last 3 years. So that'll probably make an appearance on the menu also.
Right, that sounds pretty good to me. But what about the pay-as-you-please? Is it literally pay-as-you-please?
Yes, it is, yeah.
There's no suggested payment?
No, not at all, no. Completely pay-as-you-please. Obviously, people pay for their drinks as listed at the Three Horseshoes, the wine list and the bar tariff as listed. But, pay-as-you-please for the dinner. And this year, I think we've got seven courses both nights. So it should be a really good night, yes.
Right, seven courses is a lot. I mean, I assume some of them are
smaller than others. Just a couple, probably small bites on there. But using all spring ingredients, the Italian night obviously will feature heavily with fresh peas and broad beans and local asparagus. We've got some fantastic cured ham, some culatello. We'll have a tagliarini dish, pasta dish with nettles. So using all the spring ingredients. There'll be a clam risotto and then Ozebuku, the famous Piedmontese veal knuckle dish, which will be served classically with carrots and gremolata, which should be really good.
Yeah. All right, that does sound good. And could you tell us a little bit more about the second night's menu?
Yes, the Mama Fuku is part of dinner. We're going to start with some pickles, which the Koreans are famous for, vegetable pickles. And again, it will feature peas and broad beans as they're in season. We're doing the famous 63-degree egg dish, which I know many restaurants have done in the past, but with local asparagus and miso. The pork bun will make an appearance, as I've mentioned, as will the candy bar pie. And then we're going to do some halibut and also some hanger steak with kimchi will appear on the menu. Wow. So, yes, but looking forward to the evening.
Yeah, but you did this last year, I think, didn't you?
Yes, we did two nights last year for Pay As You Please for the festival and worked very well. So we had no hesitation in doing it again this year.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I hope it goes well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure will.
Well, that sounds very good to me. And what a nice place it is too. It takes place on the 13th and 14th of May and you can book on 01954 210221. We'll put that on our podcast page, but you can also find it on the Three Horseshoes website or in the Eat Cambridge brochure.
What's that 63 degree egg, Alan? Did Richard say?
Well, it's an egg cooked in a water bath at 63 degrees for an hour, and it gives you an egg in which the white and the yolk have the same consistency.
Oh, yum.
Mmm.
Some folks put much reliance on politics and science. There's only one hero for me. It's praise we should be roaring, a man who thought of pouring the first boiling water onto tea. I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at half past 11, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea.
And if a nice cup of tea is what you would like too, you may remember that in the last flavour, Caroline Biggs mentioned Samovar Tea in Ely. Now, they have created a guest tea in honour of Eat Cambridge, and Ruth went down there to have a little taste.
It's a bit variation of our standard chai that we have in stock that we blend ourselves. That has that's very refreshing, and the spices are obviously very nice. And combination of Moroccan mint, which is popular in hot countries as well. So we combine the Moroccan mint and our samovar chai. So in this blend you will find gunpowder green tea, spearmint and peppermint. Spearmint sweetens it all together. And then you have cinnamon, ginger and cloves. It's supposed to hydrate and kind of wake your senses a little bit. And it does that. I would not recommend to have it with milk, but the other chai we have, you can have with milk, or you can even prepare it with milk. So that's our guest tea for the summer, I guess. That's a special one we created. Are you happy to try it?
Yeah, yes, please.
Fantastic. Right. So that's how it smells like. I don't know if you like to. Might be a bit powdery because of the cinnamon.
Oh, it smells really nice.
Yeah, and cinnamon makes it sweet as well. I will do it for you in the cast iron teapot, because they say that this type of teapot stews the tea a bit more than like porcelain and glass.
Okay.
But it will allow all of the spices to properly release all of the flavour. So we do like to drink it in this type of teapot. So you get a couple of spoons, one for you and one for the pot. That is the old-fashioned rule, and if anyone asks how to prepare the tea, that's what I would recommend. Really works. And then just hot water, and off you go in a couple of minutes. The first cup will be different to every other one, because obviously we put some of the tea only in the cup, so it will create light brew. Even yours is a bit lighter than mine, you see?
Oh, yeah, that's
they
true.
Are two different cups. But then what's in the pot will be stronger, unless you top it up with hot water, which we do serve on the side anyway. So this one we're drinking today is called Moroccan chai.
Right.
Because we have some of our chai, which is our basic spices, and then Moroccan mint, so Moroccan chai makes sense. We do blend teas all the time, so
yeah.
We create something new all the time. But whenever we have more concrete excuse to do it, the better it is, because, you know, it's kind of you have a proper reason to do it, or something like that. We do have quite a few of house blends, and although you would find similar tastes in other tea shops or tea rooms, but those that we do, you can have only with us, because they're unique. Firstly, because we select the teas that we blend them from, and secondly, that the flavors that it emerges at the end is really quite unusual anyway. It's based on our own preferences, so it's very subjective. But we have a few other ones, and one is our house blend as well that we created a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of puer, that earthiness, and smokiness of lapsang souchong. So when you drink that tea, well, it's funny because when someone asks me to describe it, I usually say, imagine walking your dog in the very muddy, wet forest. And then you go home and you sit in front of the fireplace. So you have the muddiness of the walk and the forest, and then you have smoke from the fireplace. So that tea is supposed to taste like that. That's a new one. That's not in the menu yet. That's why not everyone orders it. But if someone likes lapsang, Russian caravan, or puer itself, or very like Kimun Congo, for example, they do appreciate that blend as well. So that's another blend that will feature our eel festival in Ely, along with the eel's tea.
It was a delicious tea, super delicate, and with every cup, it very much was a different sensation. The second one Marta described there was the special blend done for the Eel Festival, happening at the moment in Ely until Monday. This is one of my favourite tea shops in Ely and visit quite often, but I wanted to know a little bit more about their background. So you're in the market before?
Yeah, basically, before we had the shop, we did markets. We did it in a few different cities. We did Cambridge, we did Ely and Bury St Edmunds, Mildenhall. But it happened that we opened up a shop and we chose Ely based on the market experience, different type of people, plus thanks to the other big business, big theorem down there, people already know about tea, so it's a new adventure for them. And they did experience it in a very personal way, which is very precious because it should be personal. Tea is personal, isn't it?
Thanks to Marta of Samovar for that. They really know their stuff and, more importantly, love tea so much. Chatting with Marta, the passion was so clearly there and I learned loads about the different teas and wouldn't doubt for a second that if you picked any one of the many jars of teas, they would know every detail about it. You can only get the specially crafted blends, including the special Eat Cambridge one, Moroccan Mint, in Samovar on Four Hill in Ely.
And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea. You can talk about your science and your airships in the sky. I can do without the wireless and you'll never see me fly. The public benefactor of the universe for me is the genius of thought of pouring water onto tea. I like a nice cup of tea in the morning for to start the day, you see. And when I've set the breakfast in, well, my idea of sin is a fourth or a fifth cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with me dinner, and a nice cup of tea with me tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea. They say it's not nutritious, but still it is delicious, and that's all that matters to me. It turns your meat to leather, but let's all die together. The one drink in paradise is tea. I like a nice cup of tea in the morning for to start the day, you see. And at half past 11, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with me dinner and a nice cup of tea with me tea. When it's time for bed, as I think I may have said, I'd like a nice cup of tea. You can talk about your liberties, they talk of women's rights. I don't want to make no speeches, cause the one that does is science. And anyone can have me vote and chuck it in the sea. But golly, there'd be trouble if they try to touch me tea.
Right, and somewhere else you'll be able to get a nice cup of tea is the Hunt and Darton Cafe. But that isn't all you'll get.
Bridge Street, Friday evening, and a pop-up cafe has emerged. Now, this isn't just any cafe, however. This is Hunt and Darton. They are performers, they do performance art, and that's what their cafe is all about, art and food combined. So let's have a look inside and meet the Hunt and Darton crew, who for the next month will be running this award-winning pop-up in Cambridge. Hunt and Darton pop up with their cafe all across the country. They're a much lauded Edinburgh Fringe act, and they were here in Cambridge last year on Regent Street, I think.
Now, 2 years ago.
Was it two years ago?
Yeah. Believe it or not, we skipped a year, and we've come back exactly the same time 2 years later.
That means a year has gone out of my memory.
Correct.
It was 2013. It was meant to be the end of the world. That's probably... Oh, no, 2012 was meant to be the end of the world.
2012, yeah.
Maybe it did end.
I don't think it did. We're still here. We're still here. And we're still in a cafe.
And you have so many themes that are going on here during your month stay, and your very talkative marketing person just blitzed me with...
Tina's great.
Yeah, so much information to you. Could you give the audience just a little bit more information about some of the themes that you have going on?
Just to let you know, we're here hosting all the time, so there'll always be Hunt and Darton to welcome you and look after you. But then we also have theme days. So, for example, we have Austerity Day, where we encourage people to spend less money and think about the value of what they're purchasing and make sure, you know, perhaps they could share that day, or do they really need to eat? Maybe they could just have tea. There's Austerity Day, and we replace all the ornaments with potatoes just to give a clear aesthetic. We have Health and Safety Day as well. Mm-hmm. So we obviously operate health and safety and food hygiene all the time.
Of course.
But we are particularly safe that day, and we have a fire drill. Do you want to tell them about Christmas Day?
Oh, yes. On the 25th of every month, wherever we are, Hunt and Darton Cafe, it's always Christmas Day. And at Christmas Day, we ask the customers in the cafe to
become part
of the nativity. Yeah. They each... free mulled wine and mince pies, and they become a character from the nativity.
So you might get to be the baby Jesus if you're lucky. It depends on how we cast you on that day. Yeah, a social media day where you have to tweet your orders, Instagram your food, and Facebook your fun.
It's very quiet.
So we don't really talk to you
on
that day.
Social media day. Yeah. It's much, much more subdued tones. Yeah.
Community day, we do a rolling raffle, and you can also buy a trifle for the entire cafe. It's usually £10, but sometimes we open a kind of bidding war.
In Brighton, it went for £7.
It went for £7.
Seven whole pounds.
It was actually £3.50 from two different customers who didn't know each other. But then the entire cafe got to enjoy trifle. Yes. It's a nice day. I like community day.
Should we talk about the food? I mean, we've mentioned trifle, but that's just a trifling issue. So if we talk about some of the other things that you have going on.
I think we should definitely talk about the food.
And maybe we can walk around so that the listener knows that I'm really here and that you're real people.
Should we walk to the menu?
Yes, that would be great.
We can walk to the menu.
Okay, here we are in the kitchen.
That was a long way.
You can see that our lovely bread by Cobbs Bakers.
Cobbs Bakers. We know Cobbs. Cobbs are great.
Family Bakers.
Yes.
Family Bakers.
Yeah.
And then our coffee is by...
Hot Numbers. Both of which have featured on Flavour.
We've got a Mexican and a Colombian blend, so you can try either.
Good, good.
And then Joe at Afternoon Teas is baking some classic cakes for us.
Joe Kuczynska of King Street.
She's good.
The last piece of the pineapple upside down cake. You can see, in fact, it's not even a piece.
You can have that if you want.
I'd love to.
Go for it. So our signature dish is the roast dinner sandwich, which is a triple layered sandwich with the entire contents of a roast dinner, bar the potatoes and Yorkshire's because that's a bit too much.
Do you get the gravy?
Gravy layer and the middle bread is soaked in gravy.
Nice.
And you can have it in chicken, beef or nut. We do a roughage plate for those who want a bit more of a healthy option. That's our salad of the day.
It's also quite a good gluten-free alternative.
So we do that with rye bread as well.
Can you do the roast dinner sandwich with Yorkshire pudding so you can stuff the Yorkshire pudding with some of the roast dinner? I love doing that.
No.
Do we have to do what you say?
Yes.
Okay.
We also do finger sandwiches in smoked salmon, cucumber and cream cheese and sugar. And we recommend the trio plate, which encompasses all of those flavours.
Fantastic.
Crumpets. Drinks. We do Nesquik, pineapple juice and Capri Sun. It's all a little bit inspired by our 80s childhood. So
yes,
that's kind of where we're going. And it's quintessentially British, but maybe in a naff way.
And tap water is free all day, every day.
Hot and cold?
Hot and cold.
Good.
Well, it could be, because we've got a boiler.
Exactly.
Good, good. Can I have it hot, but with some ice cubes?
No.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we haven't talked about
before? Yeah, well, let's go over here
okay.
and look at the fact that we do a set menu, which is not for consumption. So you can order a three-course performance to your table, and we'll be delivered on a trolley to perform that to you at any point you want. We did it earlier on today at the launch. They chose Delia Dance, I Am the Buffet and Africa.
And could you explain quickly what I Am the Buffet entailed?
Well, I Am the Buffet, there's a discussion about the buffet and our discontent with the buffet. At that point, I declare myself the buffet by saying I Am the Buffet. I become the buffet. Darton's not that impressed by it, but she's okay, but then she declares herself the buffet.
After I've done the buffet and tried my best to replicate the buffet, we then select someone from the cafe who will actually provide a much better buffet service.
So a member of one of our customers will then become the buffet.
It's normally somebody who has asked for the menu themselves.
Yeah.
I love your decor as well. It's very original. It's very cheap.
Yeah, it's a lowbrow aesthetic. Yes. So we use cardboard signage, which declares things like hospitality within an inch of its life. Expectation is a big word. It's meant to be wobbly. Yes, that's it, is one of my favourites.
Yeah, and I love all the assorted tables, actually. It reminds me a lot of school. Some of the hospitals I've attended, some of the doctors I've seen.
It's a strange hospital that you've been to.
Well, this place reminds me of where I live, actually, with all the cardboard up on the walls.
Well, we get everything from charity shops and places like Emmaus.
So do I.
Yeah. There we go, then. That's why.
That's why I feel at home.
Join in.
Well, thank you very much, Hunt and Darton, for this interview.
No problem.
Thank you.
We'll see you again in the cafe soon.
I hope so, too.
Good.
And you're listening to Flavour on Cambridge 105.
The Hunt and Darton Cafe opened today on Bridge Street and will continue until the end of May.
Yeah, so why not pop in for some retro cakes and let Hunt and Darton express their concept of everything as art? From the food served, the people serving, to the decoration. You know, they were just telling me in the previous locations, they've had people turn up and stay all day. They just love the spectacle of it. So good luck to them. And you'll find a link to their website, huntanddartoncafe.com, on our own podcast page accompanying today's episode.
Made in the city. For the city.
We are Cambridge 105.
Now, another participant in Eat Cambridge this year is Afternoon Teas, which can be found in King Street. They have a sweet easy running. Now, Alan went along to ask Joe Kuczynska what one of those was, and also to find out how the first 6 months of Afternoon Teas has gone.
Joe, what is a Sweet Easy?
Well, Sweet Easy was an event I came up with last year. It's basically a play on the speakeasies of the Prohibition era, where obviously they weren't really allowed to drink booze, so they did it secretly. And my twist on it is that the cocktails are inspired by cakes and the cakes are inspired by cocktails.
So it's a sweet easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, now I understand. What sort of cocktails, what sort of cakes?
I had a lot of fun coming up with them. I did a marmalade martini with homemade marmalade and gin and Cointreau, and a rhubarb crumble martini. And then the cakes were things like mojito donuts, which had a lime filling and a mint glaze, and a three milk cake.
Before you tell me about the three milk cake, that's a great idea.
Oh my god, they were amazing.
Donut. Yeah, wow. So you're doing them again. Okay. Right, and the three milk.
Yeah, it was a white Russian three milk cake. So a Mexican three milk cake obviously has three different types of cream and milk in, and then we just added some Kahlua and just. Everything's made better by booze, basically.
As in cake, so yes. In life, I would say. Right, and is it a one-off? Is it just for one day?
No, I used to, the events were just one evening, but this time I'm doing it throughout the festival, 10th to the 24th of May, and it'll be available from 11 o'clock in the morning when my licence kicks in.
And different cakes and different
Yes, there'll
cocktails.
Be one cake and one cocktail available at any one time during the festival, and they'll change regularly.
Right. Does this mean that you're going to be making even more cakes than you do, or do you think it will just be a substitute?
If it's possible, yes.
So you don't need to balk, you just turn up.
Just
and,
turn up, yeah.
And hopefully, from your point of view, join the queue.
Yes, hopefully.
But you're 6 months old now at Afternoon Teas,
yep.
Aren't you? Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Has it gone as you'd expected it?
I think it's gone better than I expected. I've been amazed at the amount of support and returning customers we've had, which has absolutely made my day. We're still getting new customers every day who have been told by someone else. And wow. I think word of mouth is my favourite way of advertising, because
it's
it means that we
way.
Must be doing something
yeah,
right.
That's great. And has it been as hard as you thought it would be in terms of hours worked and...
I don't think anyone could ever expect to know how hard it is. I don't think I could have guessed. There's
really?
No way.
It's a lot harder than you thought.
I knew it was going to be hard work, but you're not ready for the hours and the exhaustion. But it's definitely worth it.
Oh, well, that's great news. Is there a most popular cake?
The chocolate Guinness is still very popular.
I'm not surprised.
I think I must bake and ice over 10 a week of those.
Wow.
Yeah, probably more actually, because then some go to outside orders. But we're trying new ones all the time, and we've just put a new treacle tart out on the counter today that was one of my team member Nathan's idea, and we're trying new things, and they're judging their success.
What about coffee? Does Cambridge have a favourite style of coffee?
Cambridge likes good coffee.
Of course.
I don't know, it depends. Some mornings all we sell is cappuccinos, and then it will be the flat white. It has its day. But I think the thing about our coffees are they're not large, so you really taste the coffee. We do double shots and everything, so whichever coffee you have, they differ in size slightly, but there's not a bucket of coffee anywhere to be seen.
Yeah, so they're all popular by the sound of it.
Yeah, very much so.
Great, well done.
Thank you.
And that was Joe Krajinska from Afternoon Teas, which really does do exceptional cakes and has exceptional coffee too. Joe is involved in some other events at Eat Cambridge, and we'll hear again from her later in the programme.
It's all about books
and writing
and authors
and fiction
and non-fiction
and poetry
and drama
and all things books.
So save the page
for Bookmark
every other Saturday, 2 till 3,
with me, Lee Chambers,
and me, Alex Rouget,
on Cambridge 105, community radio in your city.
What's your favourite jam? Traffic jam, traffic jam. What's your favourite jam? Traffic jam. What's wrong with raspberry? What's wrong with plum? How's about a blob of elderberry on a scone? What's your favourite jam? Traffic jam. It's the jam for a man.
Now, let's take the unusual leap from cakes to eels. Eel and jam, to be exact. Eat Cambridge has branched out a bit into Ely. One event there is the Secret Feasts, doing an eel and jam feast. This is held in their pop-up deli at Cafe Carrington's. I went to check it out and ask a little bit more about what might be involved in an eel and jam feast, because, I'm not going to lie, the idea of eels and jam together sounds like something I might shy away from.
For Eat Cambridge, you're doing an eel and jam fest. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, absolutely. What we're trying to achieve is looking at the heritage of Ely, and looking back over the years, we found out there were a lot of jam factories, so we wanted to do a feast that can really show off what Ely had in its past, and really sort of bring that to the forefront of people's minds. Again, there used to be a lot of eel production, a lot of eel eaten, so we don't want to mix jam and eel, because that's a little bit weird, to be honest. So, but what we want to do is use those ingredients in different dishes to really show off how versatile they can be, how much flavour you can really get out of them. I think a lot of people often think of eel as jellied eel from London, which it is one way of doing it, but certainly and by far not the best, in our opinion anyway. I'm sure some people will argue that, but yeah, we just want to use the ingredients, use the flavours from the local area to show off a feast that represents Ely in a positive way.
You know, you said jellied eel is maybe not the best way. What do you think is the best way?
For me personally, I either like eel as a pate, so you can add other flavours into it. You can use it on croûtes or on toast, similar to like a mackerel pate type thing. Or roasted eel is, again, really nice. And you can add a lot of different flavours with that, like rosemary and thyme, and you can use a lot of English flavours to create a great meal.
When is it happening?
The Jam and Eel Fest is happening at the upstairs Cafe Carrington's in Ely on the 15th and 16th of May. Tickets can be purchased online through our website or calling one of the delis. It starts at 7 and then can end probably between 10 and 10:30. Going to give a nice 4 or 5 course meal, really celebrating all the local fantastic food.
Rob and Daryl do secret feasts throughout Cambridgeshire, as well as their pop-up delis, so I asked a little bit more about their ventures.
Yeah, the Secret Feast. We started last year in May, going nearly a year now. The idea behind the feast is to use special, different and intricate locations to create a meal that represents the local area, using the local produce, and also to give people a bit of a surprise about what to eat. So the idea is that you'd come to a feast not knowing what you're going to eat at all, and then you'd only find out as the meals are brought out to you. We're sort of looking for adventure eaters, trying to do something a little bit different, and both Daryl and I have been chefs for quite a few years now. We love working with food, we love all the different types of food, and what we want to do is just achieve a new dining experience, and something that we can, instead of having a restaurant in one particular business, in one particular area, can go to loads of different locations and use lots of different ingredients to create fresh, wonderful meals. We're based in Cambridgeshire. We're going to be everywhere. Obviously not everywhere all of the time, but moving around as much as we can, so different people can experience pop-up restaurants and see what it's about, really.
Okay, well, thank you so much for chatting to me.
No, it's no problem.
At the moment, they're all set up at the top of Cafe Carrington's in Ely, where the Eel and Jam Feast will be held. But they'll move on, as they said, a nomadic pop-up deli dinner situation. So keep an eye out for them. You can book for the Eel and Jam Feast through their website or through one of their delis. Follow them on Twitter at Pop-Up Feasts.
And while you're at it, why not follow Flavour on Twitter too? We are at Flavour105, and we retweet interesting food and drink news, including the next Cambridge pop-ups and supper clubs.
We love being local, because we live here too.
Cambridge 105, community radio in your city.
One of the many popular events at last year's Eat Cambridge was the street food market, which was held at Hope Street Yard. This year, a bigger venue is needed, and Caroline Biggs told me the other day where it is to be and what this year's event will include.
We've been scouring Cambridge for the right kind of location, and we wanted it to be a bit industrial. Now we've found the right place, and I can reveal it's going to be on Clifton Road Industrial Estate. For those who don't know, that's quite near the junction and the cinema, the Cineworld cinema. It's actually going to be outside Indus Kitchen premises, so it's going to be really great. And we're just so excited because we've got lots of new people on the block, street food wise, who'll be in attendance.
Right, and some old favourites as well.
Oh, yes, of course.
So
yes.
Numbers are up then, are they? Is it going to be a bigger?
Much bigger this time. And we've got pop-up bars also this time, and entertainment as well. And loos, actually, which we were quite keen to actually facilitate, so yes.
I think a lot of people will be very pleased with
that. They're
going
to be there for duration for 5 to 11. I think they will need a loo.
Yeah, right. And what sort of entertainment? What music?
busking, really, like last year, just some buskers, really. Yeah. Very sort of informal, yeah, but fun.
Yeah, and lights, it was lit
yes,
up last.
Yes, lots of fairy lights. Yeah,
it's still be a nice atmosphere.
Very twinkly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and just in case it does rain, is there any cover?
Yes, we've got a whole warehouse actually people can be in, so right. Yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay, so tell us again the times.
It starts at 5 and goes on to 11. It's free up until 7 o'clock, but right. After then people will have to pay £3 to come in.
Yeah, okay. And how are things generally looking with Eat Cambridge?
Yay, exciting again.
There's a lot of interest being shown.
So much interest. It's really lovely. I mean, most things are getting almost fully booked now. Yes, people do need to sort of book quite quickly if they want to now for anything. It's always really exciting. The buzz around Cambridge is lovely. And it's great that people who've never heard of it before are finding out about it. It's been really great having brochures at the Tourist Information Office, because that sort of broadened our scope, really. Mm. And it's just lovely to have that buzz, and everyone's just really excited and smiling.
Last time we spoke, you said that a lot of the brochures have been disappearing from shops at a high rate. Has that continued?
Yeah, we have to keep replenishing stocks, which is really good. And also the brochure in itself is a nice thing for people to keep, actually. It does give you a reference as to where people are and what they do.
Yes, I think it's very useful. Right, so let's hope for good weather for the street.
But last year it actually poured with rain and we still got over 100 people, so, you know, it was still fun. Just bring your brollies.
Just in case, right.
Yeah, the street food night market will be next Saturday and it should be a great event.
Join me, Phil Rowe, for Sunday breakfast from 8 for relaxing music, the legendary Cambridge Quiz, a review of the Sunday papers and interviews with local people. A great way to start your Sunday here on Cambridge 105, community radio in your city.
We heard from Richard Stokes of the Three Horseshoes earlier. He's part of Urban Street Kings, and as you would both expect and hope, they are very much involved in Eat Cambridge.
We've got three evenings, the 22nd, 23rd and 24th of May. We've chosen six specific spring ingredients, and then we're going to change the menu each night around these six ingredients. So the menus will differ on every single evening. So if someone really wants to come to all three nights, they're more than welcome.
Well, I was going to say, that really would be very interesting to do, wouldn't it? See how a menu with the same ingredients as the basis changes over three nights. I think that's very clever.
Yeah, it'd be a bit of a challenge, but we're looking forward to it, yeah.
You've got another event as well?
Yes, at Childly, the Taste of Childly, Siesta Fiesta, Fiesta Siesta, on the 18th. We're also going to be doing an Urban Street Kings lunch there. It will be obviously all Spanish food, so there will be some of our classic dishes that we've done on Urban Street Kings the last year, which have been very popular, but with a Spanish twist. We haven't formalised the menu yet, but looking forward to doing that as well.
Right, so just doing things with Urban Street Kings, is that a challenge, or does it add interest? Because it's quite varied what you do, isn't it?
Yes, it is a challenge. Jay Scrimshaw and Greg Proud, who are my partners, they've done most of the Urban Street Kings dinners. I've been looking after the Three Horseshoes of Manningley. But no, food is slightly different, and it gives us some more options to do completely different things than we do here at the Three Horseshoes, really. So with the Spanish night, that should be no challenge really at all. When we've got between us sort of 60 years cooking on the stoves and under our belts. So we're lucky that we've almost got three head chefs here, really, yeah. With the experience we have. So it shouldn't be a problem at all.
It should be a great night.
Yes, it should be very good, yes.
Lovely. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Tom.
The first of those events that Richard mentioned will be at the Gog Magog's Hills Farm, where they'll be joining forces with The Shack to present six courses of street food. It's £40, and I'm quite sure it will be very good indeed. It's sold out on the Saturday, but there are still tickets available for the 22nd and 23rd of May. That's the Thursday and Friday.
We love this city. Cambridge 105.
Afternoon Teas isn't the only place having an anniversary in Cambridge. Chocolat Chocolat is now 5 years old. In celebration, there is a whole month of chocolatey goodness, including a three-course dinner at Hotel Felix as part of Eat Cambridge. Each course has a chocolate as an ingredient. I spoke to owner Isabel Chappell about the festivities, which kick off today.
So it's our fifth birthday. We've been open 5 years, so we're going to do lots of events for May. The first event is on Saturday. We have a wonderful chocolate cake made for us, which we are selling. pieces of chocolate cake using our chocolate. Really lovely. And for the whole month, we're going to do different offers and different things.
Okay.
And Eat Cambridge comes into that, so it's part of that. Next weekend, we're hoping to have fresh macaron, and we're going to start selling those. We're going to be selling them every weekend and to order during the week. The weekend after that, we have the big Eat Cambridge weekend. We're doing a chocolate dinner on the 16th in the evening at the Hotel Felix. Limited places, only 60 places available. I think they're about £50 each. And it goes to the Pink and Blue Ribbon charity. And there are details on the Felix website, Hotel Felix. But it's a complete chocolate menu. So it's a three-course meal completely with chocolate in every course. And also there's an amuse-bouche, which is chocolate. There's coffee and chocolate afterwards. So it'll be really, it's a chocolate, real chocolate evening. And then on the Saturday, we're obviously at the Corn Exchange. We are not only selling our chocolate, but we're demonstrating chocolate. Probably going to do some dipping chocolates and be able to sample lots. And so we have both our chocolatiers there who will be demonstrating. I think I'm doing a talk on chocolate, on the origins, bean to bar and things like that. And that will be at some time in the afternoon. I'm not sure when it's happening. And then the week after, the weekend after, the 26th, I think it is, we are in our shop. I will be doing making truffles, and I'm making a new recipe that I've been working on. And people will be able to sample the truffles once they've been made. I'll be making them in my shop window.
That's exciting.
But I'm not going to say any more about that. It's a bit of a surprise.
Thanks to Isabel for that. You can book through the Hotel Felix website for the chocolate dinner. Once again, that's the 16th of May for £50, 10 of which will be donated to the Pink and Blue Ribbon Foundation.
After I spoke with Jo Krajinska earlier, I asked her if she was doing anything else besides the Sweet Easy for Eat Cambridge. Naturally, she was.
Yes, on the 24th and 25th, our brunch that we do at the weekend will be replaced by the Eat Cambridge Full English. We're doing a big fry up, but our way, so really good sausages from Shelford and really nice bacon from Burton's Butchers, and Herbie mushrooms, Bloody Mary ketchup, homemade baked beans, muffins from Dovecot. You know, it's gonna be with Bloody Marys to boot, so it's gonna be a good one.
Right. And what about the main event? Have you got a
stall at their main event as well. My mum's actually going to be manning that one for me. Yeah. Because I can't be in two places at once, unfortunately.
So what will you be doing there then? Or what will your mum be doing?
Selling cakes, just more cakes. Yeah. But it's really nice to have a presence at the main event. Yeah. I think it's a great event to be at, and I'd be really sad if I couldn't be there as well. So sending in the troops.
Okay.
And that was Jo Krajinska, and good luck to her and her mum. I hope it goes well.
You're listening to Flavour on Cambridge 105. Still to come is the food and drink news for the city and the university. First, though, our regular tapper of the month with Estefania Ledramos on food and Tom Lewis on drinks.
Yeah, this month's tapper is an interesting one called loin pork cake, and it's with an orange sauce. It involves using a bain marie, by the way. If you listen to this and decide you'd like to make it but don't think you can remember it all, we'll post the recipe on our podcast page, and you'll be able to find it on Estefania's blog, K Rico Tapas, too. Here's Estefania to explain how to make it, and then Tom Lewis will advise on what to drink with it.
It's a different way to eat meat in a cake. And you can make this cake in a big mold or in a small ones, and then you can serve as a tapper. Even if you have molds with different shapes, could be something fun for children to eat meat,
right,
in a different way, in a fun way if they aren't very keen on this kind of food.
Right.
And with orange sauce, because it's a contrast, a little bit sweet with the pork and liver chicken that we use as well in this recipe.
Okay.
For 8 people, more or less, 250 grams of loin pork, 250 grams of chicken liver, 3 shallots, 750 millimeters of milk, 5 eggs, a little bit of brandy, olive oil, salt, and black pepper. And for the orange juice, 1 orange, 1 lemon, and 6 tablespoons of sugar. For this cake, first of all, we preheat the oven to 160 degrees. We'll chop the loin pork and the chicken liver in a frying pan Well, with a dash of extra virgin olive oil, we fry the pork and the liver, not too much, just to seal the meat.
Right, and to give them, what, a bit of colour?
Just a little bit of brown. We'll cook later on when in the oven.
Yeah.
It's just to seal the meat and to preserve all the flavours of the meat. Yeah, when we are seeing that the meat is becoming a little bit brown, we pour the brandy and we'll cook for a while until the alcohol evaporates. We take the frying pan off the heat and we put the mixture in a strainer and we'll dry the meat. We don't want to have more liquids, just the meat. In a big bowl, we'll beat the eggs and we'll add the dried meat that we cooked before with the chicken liver and the pork. We season the mixture with salt and black pepper and we'll mash it a little bit with a hand blender. Not too much, just to mash the meat. In this way, when we eat the cake, we won't find big portions of meat. We want to get a smooth texture.
Is the meat not a solid piece of meat?
No, we chopped before Lyon pork.
Yeah.
Okay. And the chicken liver.
Right.
Yeah. It's already chopped.
Right.
Yeah, when we fry it, it's diced.
Right, I understand.
In the big bowl, we beat the eggs, pour the mixture of the meat and chicken liver, season with salt and black pepper, and put in a mold and bake it in the oven in the vin marie with water. Once the mixture is seasoned in a big bowl, pour it in a mold or individual molds if you have different ones, and you have to bake it in the vin marie. So you have to put a tray with water and the mold into this water. And not too much water, because once it's boiling, we don't want that any drop of water pouring drop on the mold.
Yeah.
But just a little bit in the oven for 30-40 minutes. You can check if the cake is already with a knife, and if the knife is clean, then it's done. Then take the mold off the oven after 30-40 minutes and cool down. And you have to make the orange sauce. Wash the lemon and the orange thoroughly. Peel off the zest of the orange and the lemon. Cut it into julienne in a slice, thin slice.
Which, the zest?
The zest,
right.
Yeah. In a small saucepan, pour 6 tablespoons of sugar and warm. And you don't need water, you don't need anything. Just the sugar will melt. When the sugar becomes brown, pour a glass of water and stir in the water and the sugar, that it's just a sort of caramel, and add the lemon and orange zest that we have sliced it before. And stir for 5-10 minutes until it's soft. Then we have to cool down the sauce. To plate up, you just need to take off the cake from the mold in a small plate, pour a little bit of orange sauce on top, and if you want to get something nicer or more beautiful presentation, you can put this boiled zest of lemon and orange on top of the cake.
What would you drink with that, Tom?
This is quite a challenging one, because we've got, I think the pork is a very sort of wine-friendly sort of food. I think what makes it challenging is that orange and lemon sauce, isn't it? Because you've got the bitterness of the zest in there,
yeah.
You've got the sweetness, and you've got the sharpness coming through. So that's the challenge, I think, with the matching.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'm sort of focusing on trying to match with this one. For this one, I've gone for a Palo Cortado sherry.
Palo Cortado is an unusual type of sherry. It's something that by rights shouldn't exist. So sherries generally all start off as finos, a sort of pale fino, and then they're either bottled, allowed to age oxidatively as the yeast dries away, or they're fortified to a higher level and no yeast forms. A Palo Cortado is intended to become a fino. So it's fortified only up to about 14.5%, so the yeast should grow on top of it and it should become a fino. For some reason, it rebels against its destiny. It decides it's not going to be a fino and no yeast grows. So then it ages oxidatively, which means that it comes into contact with the air and it goes a slightly darker colour and it gets those sort of nutty, roasted flavours that we get. But it was never intended to do that. So it's either one of nature's rebels or something very special, depending on how you look at it. And typically, if you're a Spanish winemaker, the Palo Cortado is your baby. That's the one that they feel is very special, and they give it all their love and attention. So if you find a good Palo Cortado, that is a sign of what the winemaker's capable of doing. So this one is a Palo Cortado. It's from González Baez, and it's called the Leonor. So it's 75 centilitre bottle, $12.99 from Cambridge Wine Merchants. And as I said, it's aged oxidatively. It's not intended to, but it does. So it picks up all those darker sorts of colours and flavours. So it's a golden topaz colour. And it's quite delicate and elegant. The aromas of dried fruits, nuts, and a bit of orange marmalade in here with sort of nutty, raisiny aromas, touch of muskiness and a firmness on the finish. So I think those are sort of flavours, that sharpness and the sort of hint of orange marmalade will match with the sauce, but it'll also, it's got the body to stand up to the pork as well.
Given the work that goes into making sherries, they seem very reasonably priced.
Absolutely. I think sherry is one of the great value wines of the world. If you and I are old enough to remember sort of, back in the 70s, sort of sherry was a drink for sort of aunts and vicars. and it really went out of fashion, and so prices just dropped. And yet it's not a cheap wine to make, because if you think, it's aged in oak, not stainless steel, so you have to pay for the oak, and it's aged for many years, often before it's bottled, and the whole Solera system is quite expensive to maintain, so it's more expensive to make. The world seems to have fallen out of love with it, and so that just means for anyone who likes it's an incredible bargain. And fino sherry is there was this much vaunted sherry revival. If you remember, sort of about 10 years ago, sherry was going to make a comeback, and it never quite did. But it's now there. We talked about this earlier. There's lots of sherry bars in London. Mm. There was even a list of the top 10 best sherry bars. I didn't even know there were 10, but there's a top 10. So I think Fino's definitely on the way back up. The darker styles are sort of will follow behind. But for now, you can get aged dark sherries at absolutely bargain prices.
Mm, that's very good. Is there a wine that could be drunk with the loin pork cake?
If for any reason you're not a sherry fan, or you want a bottle of wine instead of a sherry, yes, I've got a wine as well. And again, it's the same challenge. It's matching that sort of zestiness of the orange sauce and the sweetness to a wine. So the one I've chosen here is from Joseph Barnes Wines. It's called Gonzalo Grijalba Gran Cerdo. And it's £9.25. Now, the name is quite interesting. Gran Cerdo means large pig. Yes?
Yeah, well, no, I know that wine. And yesterday I had dinner with wine. Yeah, just one Gran Cerdo. Well, tell the story.
Tell the story.
It's really interesting.
So the winemaker is sort of cult, maverick, interesting character. The wine itself is 100% Tempranillo, but there's absolutely no information about the wine on the back label at all. And actually what there is a rant from the winemaker to the bank managers who refused to lend him any money to develop his business. So, I mean, talk about using a platform to make your point. Great idea. And the wine itself is from declassified Rioja vines. They're 35 years old, so you know, you're starting to get some sort of age and concentration there. But there's no vintage on the label. There are various rules about what you can and can't do. Broke one of the rules, so he can't actually put a vintage on, but it's the 2012. So this is a guy who likes to do things his own way. And in terms of the flavour profile, it's sort of, again, typical sort of fresh, young Rioja. You've got red fruits, a bit of cassis, and some slightly earthy notes. The palate is light and juicy, and you have what you need here, which is lots of acidity and lots of sweet, ripe fruit. So I think that's going to match with the sauce and work really well.
Yes, right. Well, that sounds good. And did you enjoy it when you had it?
Yes. And I was keen on trying this wine because I knew the story behind with money and in the end he got the money and because he was really interested in starting this wine and this company, and because Gonzalo is an interesting man as well. Well, he's a young man.
He's quite a character, isn't he?
Yeah, because he's not only making really different and interesting wines, it's the way that he's doing that, because it's biodynamic, and sometimes he tunes music for the vineyards and these things, and he's promoting a music and wine festival in a tiny, tiny village in Spain, but he's so popular. So it's really interesting.
Right. Well, I'm glad we know. Okay.
Thanks to Estefania and Tom, and they'll be back in a month's time. On to Cambridge's food and drink news now, and today we welcome Gigi Perry, who will bring us some news for members of the university. Welcome, Gigi. What's happening at the university?
Thank you. It's great to be here in the studio. Now, exam term may be upon us, but the foodie life of a Cambridge student is fuller than ever. There is a plethora of events at which to eat, drink and be merry. The Cambridge University Wine Society has two exciting dinners coming up. Its final dinner of the year takes place at Emmanuel College on the 9th of May. It will be with Chianti Classico producer Fazina, led by the estate owner Giuseppe Mazzacolin. Giuseppe is also bringing a special treat with him from the estate, several of his highly sought-after olive oils. Also of note is that the Society's annual dinner takes place on Saturday the 24th of May at Downing College. Varsity victory earlier in the year adds greater celebration to the occasion, which begins with a vintage Paul Roger champagne reception, followed by a fabulous four-course dinner.
Estefania Led-Ramos is doing some tapas and vermouth at the Free Press in Prospect Road tomorrow, Sunday from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m, and the pub is doing a Sunday roast afterwards. A Spanish custom is to have a tapa or two before the Sunday lunch, so here's our chance to try it out.
Cambridge University's Food Society is busy working on its Easter term card and has already produced a couple of events to put in the diary. Its AGM takes place on the 9th of May. As well as a review of the last year, they are looking to recruit a new committee. So if you've ever wanted to get more involved in the society that runs cheese tastings, fudge workshops, restaurant outings and more, this is your chance to do so.
There's a pop-up at Sticky Beaks on the 14th of May. It costs £30 plus £1.35 booking fee and will feature dogs, sliders, buttermilk chicken, burritos and more. You can book via the Urban Street Kings website.
And now for some news from the Cambridge colleges. Students from Emmanuel College have launched a petition for the improvement of vegetarian food served at the college. At Pembroke College, the chefs have been working hard on a series of weekly pop-up specials for the term. So far, we've seen gyros and taqueritos, and we're looking forward to a noodle bar and hot dog bar, among others. To retain that desired place on the Tompkins table, the hemp brownie has been created for lunch and supper. Made with organic hemp powder, which boosts the protein content of the brownie, it has gone down a treat. Keep an eye out for further brain food over the course of the term. From smoked salmon and courgette pancakes with pea protein to chocolate crepes, there is lots to look forward to. Being a student has never tasted so good.
Mm. Can you smoke the organic hemp powder?
Right. The Cambridge Camera Beer Festival is on from the 19th to the 24th of May on Jesus Green. It's the second largest outside London and is the longest running camera festival. Amongst the local breweries there are the Moonshine Brewery with its own bar this year, the Black Bar Brewery, which will be delivering its beer by punt, and the new Calverley's Brewery, which opened in Cambridge in April.
Also on a beery theme, Cambridge University Real Ale Society has announced its new committee led by President Matthew Kellett. Membership offers you a free entry to the beer festival and you won't need to queue for a ticket. The Society is selling membership cards on Sunday the 18th and 11th of May at the Maypole Pub from 7 to 9pm. Membership is £5 and can only be purchased with a valid Cambridge student ID card. Keep your eyes peeled for upcoming details for the Cuirass Garden Party.
And that about wraps up another edition of Flavour, and if you really enjoyed it, you can listen to a repeat of the programme tomorrow at 7am.
The music we played today was Binnie Hale with A Nice Cup of Tea and Ivor Cutler with Jam. Keep in touch with Cambridge Food and Drink News by following Flavour on Twitter, at Flavour105. Previous editions of the programme are available on iTunes and our podcast page on the Cambridge 105 website.
Coming up next is Saturday Lunch with Stuart and Zoe. At 2pm, it's Bookmark with Lee Chambers and Alex Ruja. They'll be talking with Somya Balsari, whose book The Cambridge Curry Club won the Cambridgeshire Book of the Decade Award. Also on the programme is one of the judges of the Costa Book Award, as well as author Ethna Donoghue. At 3 o'clock, there's In Your Company with Sam Davis, and at 3.30, it's The Science Show with Roger Frost and Chris Creese. Then, from 4pm, 2 hours of sports live with Chris Duerden and Good Luck Cambridge United, and from 6 o'clock till 7, it's Jason Allen.
So, thanks to all of our interviews today. Our next episode is in 2 weeks' time, on Saturday the 17th of May. So it's goodbye from all of us at Flavour.
Bye!
Bye-bye!